Hello, and thank you once again for joining us for Writing Through the Ages, Current Common. This is episode 65. I am Eric.
I'm Eugene.
And we're back.
And we're back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Good minute.
Yeah.
Month and a half, 2 months.
Yeah. But, you know, because we said we were going to take a little break.
Yeah, holidays.
And then the world.
And then a lot of stuff happened.
Yeah.
Had an abscessed tooth.
Yeah.
And then COVID.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, right after Christmas. Before Christmas, and then Christmas, and then COVID, and then, like, quarantining, and then just, like, and then my car had problems, and then it's like...
Yeah. It's like, not being not a sadist, I didn't come over to your house and, you know,
yeah,
cough in this microphone.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So you had it. I was quarantined because, like, we recorded, but I didn't have it, but I still missed work because I might have had it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, and it would be like stupid to be like, oh, well, I'm sure we both have it. So now we should get together.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
But then it's like, you also probably didn't want to talk for like several hours.
You know, it was, first couple days were rough, but other than that, it kind of cleared up.
Because I did have like a just a straight up cold, like, yeah, perfectly
just coincidental,
perfect timing, like perfect straight timing. Up. So like,
that's usually how it is. Lines up.
Yeah. But yeah. So we're back. We were never like really on top of it, like time wise. So it's just like now we just have a bigger buffer.
Yeah. Yeah. Just gotta.
It'll only take us, like, instead of 50 years to catch up, it'll take us 1,000 years to catch up.
Right.
We always have content to review.
Yes.
That's what we're doing. That's the reason.
Of course.
The reason is just,
it's methodical.
You know.
It's planned out.
It's like when you pause a streaming video, just to, like, give it a buffer.
Yeah, give it some time.
Yeah.
Let it stew.
When you're watching, I do it all the time with, like, if I'm watching a live stream or something like that, I'll, like, pause it.
Yeah, the only issue I have with that is if sometimes the chat will continue running.
Yeah, if you're watching it on YouTube, they time the chat with what you're watching.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
It's gotten a lot better.
I remember when I first got, I don't have it anymore, but when, like, TiVo first started, like, live TV, so you just, like, when you're watching a movie or something on TV, you just pause it when you start and then, like, come back, like, 20 minutes later so you can fast forward through all the commercials.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember my dad was super into that, and there was a certain point you hit your cap for how long you can have...
the TiVo built up?
Right. And so this weird thing happens, like, we were watching something, and I had no idea that they had paused it so much or, like, fast-forwarded so much. And then at a certain point, it, like, jumped forward.
To the live show?
Yeah. And it's like, halfway through the movie, I'm like, what the heck just happened? It's because they had capped out, and it was like, I'm tired of this refresh.
I just wonder, like, how low the rate for commercials on TV are going down.
Oh, like how much money they have to pay for the advertising and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, because it used to be like a huge deal. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure now it's only sporting events that like it matter. Only live events.
Probably, yeah.
Because otherwise, like TV shows and stuff like that, people just...
Pennies on the dollar or whatever.
Yeah, they either TiVo it and then just fast forward through the credits later, or if they're watching, they like pause it. It's like, because I mean, now it's all online ads where you can't skip or anything mm-hmm. like that. But anyways, that's not...
Ad blocker.
Yeah, ad blocker. That's not what... Today, so that's all saying is that we're going back to it today. We're not dead.
No.
We were just on life
support.
We
were never dead.
We were just in a coma.
Yes, that's right.
Waking up to a brave new world. And that brave new world is Saber plus Senkenger Superhero Sankey movie. It aired in theaters on July 22nd, 2021. Came out on Blu-ray at the start of December. It's written by Nobuhiro Mori and directed by Ryo Tasaki. I don't know why that was so hard.
We're out of practice.
Yeah. So this is the movie that was we didn't get watched. So we had a discussion of like, is this current common now?
Yes.
Because it's not current common. Current common to receive guys. Saber's old. He's a legacy hero.
Right. Now, I figure we'll just run it like Magic the Gathering. You know, like at a certain point, this is standard. At a certain point, this is considered frontier. And that's considered, you know.
Yeah.
Modern.
What is it? What did they call it in Star Wars? It's Legends.
Oh, Legends.
Legends is all the stuff before Disney bought it.
Yes.
Yeah. All the expanded universe is all Legends.
Factual. Yeah.
So this is the movie that took place after the crossover.
Yes.
So the pirate guy came to their world, and then the siblings went to the pirate world.
Right. And just like you guys have been waiting for us to come back, we've been waiting to watch this movie.
Yes.
This one in Trio of Sin.
Yeah, Trio of Sin isn't even out yet.
But, yeah, yeah, I know. Just
but so yeah, this movie, but then like there is a I think I saw a trailer for an actual coming out, there is a Saber Revice crossover movie. That's the Century hero. Okay. Kamen Rider Century.
Right, the one that's gonna also have the future hero.
Yeah, it's gonna, and they're gonna have in that movie Hongo's son, the actor who plays Hongo.
Will play Hongo. Hongo
will play Hongo in that movie. I can't believe I forgot his name. Fujioka's son will play it, who is also, if you want to see him, you can go online and you can look up the Sega, I think, 60th anniversary commercials, because he played the son of Sega Sanshiro.
Yeah, and some of the newer ones, or not the most recent ones, not the newer ones.
Yeah, so Sega Sanshiro was a character that Fujioka played, who was the mascot for Sega Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And so he plays the son of that character.
Yeah. At the very least, if you haven't seen the commercials, they're worth your time.
Oh, yes. The whole saga of Sekisaga Sanshiro is just like, it's just epic.
It's enjoyable.
But yeah, so we're watching this movie. It's going to be weird. I'm going to have to remember all these names because of the 9,000. So the only thing I do know is that it's a tradition in Sentai things for a roll call.
Mm.
But I guess the Sentai go through the whole roll call. And then the Saber crew go through a whole roll call, too.
Oh, really?
So it's like seven of them and then like nine of them.
Right, really, depending on who all's there.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So that's going to be kind of crazy.
So I think, so I don't know if there's going to be a movie only form.
Oh.
I do know they do it a lot, like a movie standalone form. But it's usually their standalone movies. I don't know if there is going to be one here. There might be. There'll probably be a Sentai book.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm not sure exactly. And then it's like a metal or a gear. Zen Gaijer uses gears. So there might be a Kamen Rider gear.
Okay, yeah.
And usually a lot of times these movies are also a celebration of not just the current one, but like the entire legacy of Rider and Sentai.
So you could have anybody pop up from anywhere? Or
yeah, most likely you will have them all. Like, all the way from Hongo, like, all the way back, but it'll just be suits.
Oh. So it's, like, some grand, huge battle.
Oh, yeah, we're talking, like 50 people doing a giant kick against a CGI giant monster type thing. That's, like, a standard. I expect that to happen. It's just, you watch these movies for the interactions, just like the crossover movies.
Right, right, right.
You watch it for the interactions for the characters.
Yeah, I think my opinion is going to remain, I think, pretty much the same as it's been. As long as it doesn't bloat up the screen time with the Super Rider kick,
yeah,
then I'm fine.
Yeah. But remember also, in those crossover movies, there was that space station thing.
Yes. Yeah, because the last one ended with like the spaceship coming out, and it was like a round thing, and there's like a statue or something.
Yeah,
in
there was like cracking open or something like that. So that's the like the continuation onto this. But you remember also that like it was like a weird, like, the placement of it was kind of weird,
mm-hmm.
of like the story. Cause it's like, I think if I remember correctly, the placement of it was they had just beaten Solomon.
Oh, you mean like where it fell in the
Saber
series?
Yeah, I think they had just beaten Solomon.
Yeah, cause it was like, right, it was while they were still together before the, has it been that long?
Yeah. So they'd beaten Solomon, but it was before Story Use came up.
Right.
Yeah. So they thought they had won.
Right. Like it was all was well.
Yeah. Because you remember they were like just hanging out in the park, I think, when it started?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, it's like.
Or no, wait, did he have Cross Saber in that movie? We didn't really see much with them.
Yeah. Yeah. He had it, but I don't think he used it.
Yeah, because he didn't use it. But that's not unusual because it's usually just the base forms. But then it's like.
It also wasn't like. No, it was
because that's right. It has to be after Solomon because the siblings are there. Yeah. Has to be. There's no question.
Yeah.
And then it's definitely before Storius.
Yeah.
Because that was the end of the series. So, yeah, it's the only place it could fall.
It was either that or it was like a sideline. Like, that's where the story should happen. I don't remember if it aired at that point.
Mm.
It aired after Storius, but it aired after Solomon. I don't know if it aired during story use, but continuity-wise, it should be in that point.
Right, in between there.
In between those two, when they thought they had won.
Okay.
Because, yeah, there was the... but they had, like, they were fighting, like, different things. They were fighting monsters from their...
Yeah, the weird princess thingy.
Yeah, they were fighting monsters from the...
Zenkaiger.
Zenkaiger.
Yeah. I can't remember what they were themed after, but... it wasn't robots, was it? Some sort of weird...
They are robots. Because you remember what it is like, there's only... only the main guy and the sixth writer are face actors.
Yeah, actual people.
All the others are suit actors.
Yeah.
And they're all modeled after Megazords from previous series.
Right.
And this is also the only one where, like, technically the lead writer isn't a red writer. Mm. He's a white writer.
Red trim or whatever.
Yeah, he has all the colors, and then, like, there is a red one, and his super form is based off of, like, the Mighty Morphin Zoo Ranger. Yeah, Zoo Ranger. And so, like, which has become... It's funny, because it was just another...
Yeah, it was one in...
It was just another Sentai, but it's...
For us, it's the Sentai. Yeah,
and it's actually become synonymous with, like, Sentai in there, because not only that, like, Power Rangers was redubbed back into Japanese into it and, like, aired.
I can see it.
Yeah. I mean, they did the same thing where, like, there was a Korean one mm-hmm. that was brought back, and it's just like,
yeah, it's funny how that works.
Yeah,
because I mean, they made their own story with clips.
Yes,
so it's not Zoo Ranger.
Yeah, Mighty Morphin is completely different than Zoo Ranger.
Yeah, but you might have some of the same property, but
super different, especially for, like, near the end of Zoo Ranger when Bedora, like, summons Satan.
Oh,
and there, like, you go. The Megazord is God.
Yeah,
you know, those.
Yeah, nobody. We're not going to be summoning Satan here in America. Yeah. I mean, maybe these days, but.
Yeah, it was like, there was, like, a big thing.
Can you imagine in the 90s if the kids show summoning Satan?
Yeah, like the video games, they would remove crosses from things, you remember?
Yeah. It's like, no, it's not a rice ball, it's a jelly donut.
Yes. So there's a YouTuber called Binging with Babish,
mm-hmm.
and he makes food from TV and shows. And he does anime too and stuff like that. So, like, he did, like, the Taco Time Taco.
Right.
And, you know, the Every Meat Burrito, or just, like, things that are from shows.
Yeah.
And for an April Fool's joke, he made the jelly donuts from Pokemon.
Oh.
And so he made jelly donuts, but he made them look like the
Onigiri. Rice balls.
Yeah, the Onigiri. And then next week, he actually did an Onigiri episode. But he did the rice balls from Pokemon. The jelly donuts from Pokemon.
That's what he should have done, is done the censored jelly donuts and just make the Onigiri.
So, yeah, so this is going to be, it's going to be interesting to see these characters again, because it's not like the Trio of Sin movie where it's like years later. This is like back when they were actually the characters.
Yeah, because, like, with that one, I don't have to, like, put myself in that moment and try to remember exactly what was happening with these characters. With Trio of Sin, we could just watch it and be like, oh, wow, all so much has changed.
It's supposed to be farther away than it actually is.
Yeah. Whereas this one, it's like, okay, wait, I don't remember what was happening at this point. Like, how were they feeling about each other?
So I believe, you know, also Arata is in this movie, the actor.
Oh, okay. But not as the character? Or as the character?
I don't know. I think it's in this movie.
Actually, I think I remember seeing a trailer with him and having like a ninja or a shogun hat on or something like that.
He had like the hair. He had like the feudal hair.
Yeah, that.
So I don't know. I doubt it. There's possibilities of 0-1 spoilers.
Oh. Well, you know what? At this point, it's our fault.
Yeah, but just so you know... Like we said, the continuity crossover of things
could have absolutely nothing to do with anything.
Literally, I don't know, because we haven't watched it yet. But like, Arata could die at the end of 0-1. He didn't, because he's going to be in like other features and stuff like that. But they could still have him in this, and they'd be like, "Who cares?"
Yeah, it's like whatever. He was human gear all along.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't even explain it that way. It's just Arata's here.
Yeah, it's like, deal with it.
Yeah.
It's like, if you can give me a definitive answer of where he was in the timeline at that time.
No, they don't care.
No, they don't give a shit. Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care about the continuity. Like, there was a... Fujioka appeared in the Kamen Rider Ichigo movie as, like, an old Hongo.
Okay.
And he had just a completely different suit. It's like... And nobody... They didn't explain it. They didn't care. They just moved on. They're just like, here he is. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Or, like... When when Decade appears, you'd be like, what happened? Because at the end of Decade's like story, he left with like a huge group of people. Because he left with his whole cast. Like, there was a happy ending. We saw it. It was the double movie.
Yeah.
When he appears, he's just by himself. And then you're like, what happened to them? And you're like, who cares?
Yeah, it's like not a problem. It's like it's like you're making something out of nothing, man.
Yeah. Like,
they were extras. You just didn't know. It's like they're lucky to get that much screen time.
Yeah, it's just like, who cares? You figure it out.
Yeah.
Who cares? And if it doesn't work, that's your problem.
Yeah. So don't put that on me.
Yeah. They're like, we're just trying to sell toys here.
Yeah.
And if we put Decade in it, we could just sell a new Decade toy.
Well, I mean, something like this is, it's fan service. It's obviously fan service.
Yeah, so these, like, especially these movies are, yeah.
This isn't the kind of one, I guess what I'm trying to say is, if I was ever going to be critical about, you know, how this affects the actual stories, it's going to be on, like, the Trio of Sin. Trio of Sin does not get that pass.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's directly, it's centered in that plot.
Yeah.
I will criticize it based on everything that's happened in Saber. But this right here, it's like, do what you got to do, I guess.
I see these. It's this one and also, like, the crossover movies many times when it's, like, the previous writer shows up and stuff. I see them a lot of the ways, like, the old Marvel-DC crossovers, where it would be, like, Superman meets Spider-Man or something like that.
Yeah.
Where sometimes Metropolis just exists.
Yeah. There was a Metropolis somehow.
Yeah. Like,
because we needed these characters to meet.
Yeah.
But we didn't want to pretend that their universes are smashed together.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, in the 80s and 90s, the crossovers were, like, super ridiculous. It was just like, you just walked into the other reality.
Yeah. And now, there you go. You got
and Wolverine. It's always been there.
Yeah. It's all of a sudden you got Wolverine Batman. You gone too far.
That was, yeah, the Dark Claw. That was a smash. But it was like when, like, the new Teen Titans and the X-Men crossover, it was just like, they're mutants. We should go talk to the X-Men.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how do you know they're mutants?
Yeah, it's like, what the heck?
Your team has a guy who turns into a dinosaur.
Yeah. Is he a mutant?
No, he's not a mutant.
He didn't question it.
Yeah. Nobody ever thought he was a mutant. But no, you think these people are mutants, so we got to go talk to the X-Men.
Yeah. There's some logical leaps here.
Yeah. And that's how these movies are. These continuities are just ridiculous.
Just roll with it.
Yeah. Just enjoy. It's basically just like, it's just fan service of like seeing these interactions, these funny interactions with the characters. I'm not going to, it's too late for a spoiler anyways for it, but for it's like, and then Spider-Man. It's just like, I want a whole movie or a whole TV series of just three Spider-Men living in a house.
Yeah. It'd be great. They have different enough characters that it'd work.
Yeah. Just be like,
similar enough that you can expect them all to act one way in this situation and then totally different in these situations.
Yeah. Just like this, them hanging out was the best parts of that movie. Yeah, man.
Good movie.
So yeah, we're going to go watch this and we'll come back and talk our random thoughts about it.
Yeah.
And so we'll be back. Okay, and we're back. And we try to do movies not blow by blow, but it usually ends up involving that because we want to talk about stuff. But this movie's kind of boring.
Well, I don't know. I enjoyed the first half better than the last half.
So do you know what it reminded me of?
Hmm.
Which, and that, this isn't a diss or anything like that because they're different medias and stuff like that. It reminded me of a D&D game.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because it was just set pieces in between fights.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And like, that's a different, I'm not saying that those are bad games. I've had great fun doing that because it's a different media. But when you're watching it, you're like, okay.
Yeah, because it was definitely like, here's a small moment where we might introduce a new character or we'll have like a quippy line or something. And then a fight, another fight. And then
the other thing it felt like,
and then fight.
It felt like a fan fiction story.
It did. I mean, that was definitely.
Because it was all a bunch of.
It was actually. That's one of my sucks. I didn't write it exactly like that. I said it was, I wrote it down as too much on the nose.
Yeah.
Because it definitely felt like, hey, you know, these are my favorite characters and I really want to shout out to the creator, you know? I don't know when it started. I'm going to trail off for a split second here. I don't know when it started. I think it's one of those, like, you leave your mouse lingering over thing like we've been noticing on YouTube. But on Facebook, I'll just be scrolling down, and for some reason, Facebook thinks I love Harry Potter fan fiction because every third page that it's recommending to me is like Sirius Cross Lupin or some sort of like, here's the Marauders, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And the worst part is every now and then, there's like an interesting thought or idea, but most of the time, I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. I know what you mean. It's just like, oh, come on.
Like, I have read... Don't be fair. I have read good fan fiction.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's got to be.
You know, there...
I mean, it literally comes down to the author, right?
Like, yeah. And I've read bad fan fiction, too. But... And I've read good fan fiction. It's just like... There's a reason why authors usually have an editor.
Yeah.
Because you need somebody to, like...
Yeah. You got to be... There's... Sometimes you just got to be reined in.
Yeah.
Just a smidgen.
I think I've talked about this, but like when you have the more restrictions, we've talked about this all the time, the more restrictions you have and are made, and if you can make a good story, that's more impressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like I always bring up this thing about like when a television property, like a live action television property becomes a comic book.
Yeah.
It goes nuts.
Yeah. It's honestly the best, like the best seasons in shows, I think historically, are when their budget's tight.
Yeah.
It's like when they're just starting and then when their budget gets tight.
Yeah.
That's when they're like, okay, let's, you know, let's really do something here.
Yeah.
And then,
we only have these three sets, you know.
Yeah.
There's a good episode of Doctor Who where they're like, hey, we only have, we have like no money for this episode.
Right.
It's like in the TARDIS set because they had the set and in a white room. That was the entire episode. And it was actually kind of creepy. And it was like all this stuff back in the black and white days. Yeah. But
the thing is, like, it's easy like on a set because you build the set and you have all this stuff intended. So even if after a while you're like, wow, this is a bad idea, we should stop, you can't. It's like, well, no, we kind of have to justify the creation of this set here. And, you know, we hired all these people. We got to get something back from it. So at least with that's fine for like movies and stuff, but then when you come back to like fan fiction and whatnot, it's really just one of those you need somebody to bounce an idea off of that's not just there to lift your spirits.
There's an ongoing joke in the Flash TV show about the fact that everybody's able to walk into Star Labs. This is because it's one of the sets they have, so most of the talk happens there.
Uh-huh. So, like, everybody has this top secret code.
Yeah, just like, it's like everybody...
Just walking past alien technology.
Just walk right into Star Labs because they have the set.
Yeah.
But,
No, that being said, this isn't like horrible, horrible, horrible. I didn't feel... I mean, I don't know what to compare it to. This is like my first Sentai crossover.
Yeah, this is...
Well, not my first, because obviously there's the other two, but yeah. You get my point.
Yeah, so I have seen better and I have seen worse.
Yeah.
So it's not the worst one. I think it felt... It was... Because it was a 45th anniversary of Sentai and 50th anniversary of Kamen Rider, it was... way more fan servicey than the others have been.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And also, I think the characters they chose revolved around a lot of, like, who can we get?
I mean, that's a factor, right?
Yeah, that is a factor, and that's a lot. I mean, it was 2021, so there's a lot of other factors involved in that. And so, you know, but yeah, so like we're saying, that there's not much, like, we're not going to go blow, 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 but, like, yeah, there's the whole thing with, like, Shotaro Ishinomori.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to sum it up, they get sucked into the world by this the guy Asmodeus, who was like, I guess, the galactic keeper of forbidden books up in the... So it turns out that the space base or whatever is like literally just right above the northern base, but
the southern base, I think.
Was it southern?
Yeah,
I thought.
Because they showed the northern base later on. Because
I thought the northern base was the one in the North Pole.
Yeah, the northern base is the one where they all go to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't the one they're at.
Oh, okay.
It was the other one.
Right, right. So anyways, yeah, I guess he's locked up there. He was supposed to be keeping... This is the part I'm not sure on what's going on. Like, he was keeping the books, and then...
He was the keeper of the books, and then he just rebelled.
Yeah, and so they made him a statue, and then he breaks out. And there's, like, a whole bunch of traps, like, to keep him from it.
Yeah.
And then he gets attacked by, like, a bunch of guardians that look like sage copies.
Yeah.
And he just wipes them out and stuff.
I think this was before the sages showed up in the show.
Okay, yeah. So they go on a grand adventure, come to find out the person that they've... Just random guy, just random a-hole, is Ishinomori.
Yeah.
The guy that created the whole thing.
Yeah.
And...
I was really surprised they didn't throw some 009 in there.
009?
Cyborg 009. Oh, yeah, because he created that, too.
Yeah. I guess that's just not a popular enough property.
And also, it's like, it's their anniversary. It's not 009 anniversary. Right. He created a couple of others, too. Like, was it Izuma? Not Izuma 11, but like there was an Izuma guy. He created Kakaider, I believe it was, and maybe a couple of others. Like, he created, like, he was the guy who, like, he was like the Stan Lee of tokusatsu.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about this movie is that by the end of it, I'm like, why didn't you guys just make a movie for this concept, like, with everything that he's done, not just these two, you know?
I believe, if I remember correctly, there might have been a drama about him.
Okay. Okay.
I think it was about him. There was a drama about like a bunch of creators who like went to school together, who became like big guys. Guys who created like
I remember you telling me this.
Always something or other, but he might have been in it. I can't remember off the top of my head. But
So the bad guy's main motive in this is to like break his spirit, since he's showing them like characters he didn't make.
Yeah,
he's showing
them heroes who aren't fully heroic.
Yeah,
but the thing is you watch it and like they are
they didn't do anything unheroic. It was one of those things where I kind of just I pretended in my mind, like I pretended that this was like we're being shown something, but he's seeing more than that in between.
Because it's like the thing is like Saber is a very heroic writer,
right?
I mean,
like I'm trying to think of like anything he's done that was considered evil in any way, because the main point that he got Ishinomori to think was that well, these guys have a little bit of evil in them. What's the point if battle and war is bad? So why should we have people that go into battle?
Yeah, and like that's we've talked about this before. That's like the bread and butter of Kamen Rider, is that like it's almost all of the shows. Kamen Rider's power is the same source as the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a cyborg and he fights cyborgs. You know, he gets the books. Books are bad guys type of thing. You know, 01, he uses the same hidden technology as the,
right.
You know, yeah. The bad guys and stuff.
It's always derivative one way or the other.
Yeah.
It's either the hero has their power or they have the hero's power.
Yeah.
In either case, it's the same.
Yeah, it's the same power. And it's
or
like,
similar.
Like the general idea is that like, it's not the power that's the bad guy. It's like how
the
you
individual,
use it.
Yeah. Your motivations.
But yeah, so it's like the thing is like they are not bad.
No.
Like they're more heroic than like some other writers I've seen.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like this would have fit better if they had whipped out like Decade or somebody else that you're really looking at him and you're like, I don't know, was this right? Was any of this the right thing to do?
Even other of the swordsmen, if it had been Durandal.
Yeah, Durandal, for example.
Or if it had been like the jerk Kenzen or something like that, or even like the aloof Yuri, but no.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was Rintaro. I guess there was a part where they were fighting what's the main character of Zenkaiger?
Kaito.
Yeah. So just a random Kamen Rider fighting Deno. I'm sorry.
Deno.
Why did I say random Kamen Rider? I guess that's disrespectful.
Yeah.
Deno.
You
fighting.
Can say random Sentai.
Yeah, that's, random Sentai is okay.
That's okay on this podcast, but never. There is no random Kamen Rider.
Yeah. So Deno is just fighting just like random. I think all the fights with the goons, there's just like goons from every series.
Yeah, it's a mix of like Sentai and Kamen Rider, just goons all over
the
place.
Okay, because I couldn't put a single finger on, like, I was like, wait, is this the Toji Tendo? Like, I don't remember them looking like this. And then I realized, wait, no, that one's right. I've seen that one before.
Yeah, so there, I mean, like, there was a Magear in one of them and stuff like that. And like, there's some other ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just the mooks from all, they're just like, just one suit of each, just throwing it in there.
Okay, so yeah, so Deno's fighting.
And why
some,
not? They have them all.
Yeah, might as well, right? And plus, it's one of those.
It's a fan service-y thing, yeah.
Yeah, fan service. So he's fighting some goons, and Kaito's like, this looks fun. And Rintaro's like, he starts to walk off. And then Kaito, like, transforms and jumps in there, and Rintaro's like, all right.
Yeah, but then, like, Ishinomori wasn't even there.
Yeah, he wasn't there.
He was with the other group.
Right. Yeah, so it's like, you could have been watching that one. Maybe you could say, that wasn't heroic of him. But then it's evil, though? That's a stretch.
Yeah.
It's like it's handled, clearly.
Yeah.
And he's got other things going on. That's not evil.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
I did like the fact that, like, he was all aloof until, like, Mei's like, hey.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about Shotaro? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's sitting there, and he's like, go away. I'm busy. And then she's like, we need to go somewhere. And it's like he looks at her face, and he's like, yes.
Yes, yes. Wherever you want to lead me, absolutely. I'll go there.
I hurt myself. Help me up. Oh.
Yeah.
No, he didn't do that. But
yeah, it's just like, because he's a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. But so like, I feel like there was more to it than we saw. That's how I rationalize it.
Yeah. You know. But yeah, like I said, there was just, it was stages in between fights.
Yeah.
It was like the whole thing, you know.
Because the thing is that there is no perfect hero that makes an interesting story. Unless the hero isn't part of the story, like they just come in and fix the situation and then fly away.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to watch a whole episode of, like, oh my God, all this stuff's happening. Oh, here comes blah, blah, blah. And they swoop down like, ha-ha, and then boom, 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 and we're done. And then flies off. There you have a perfect hero.
So, like,
somebody who doesn't have thoughts and feelings.
Yeah. So, there's other things in the story, but, like, in One Punch Man, one of the best things about One Punch Man is, when is Saito going to get there?
Oh, yeah.
Because
he can fix it once he's there.
Once he's there, he fixes it. And, like, in the game, they had a fighting game, One Punch Man fighting game. You didn't play as him. You were just weaker characters fighting the monster. You just had to last until he arrived.
Yeah, survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there's other good things about it, because this is disillusionment of when you actually realize your dream and all that stuff going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's always about, like, especially when you're reading the weekly, it's either weekly or monthly issues, you're like, is this the issue where he shows up?
Oh.
Is this the issue where he shows up? And also there's all, like, this person knows how strong he is. And then, like, this person does know how strong he is. So how are they react? And,
oh, okay. Yeah.
And he's never a guy who's just like, I'm this strong. He's just like, I'm just me. I don't care what you think about
me.
But anyway, so, like,
because, I mean, like, as perfect as Superman is, he still has, I mean, even though he's an alien, he still has human thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
You know, he might hate somebody for being evil, even though he's not going to act on that hate.
Yeah.
You get my point.
Yeah, because Superman's story is not about his powers. It's not about his ability, his power to fix the situation. It's, should he fix the situation?
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Is mostly that. It's like his dilemma of, like, I can't solve everybody's problems.
Yeah.
You know.
And so he's like, I honestly, definitely you would argue he's the number one superhero, I guess, as far as the world is concerned. I mean, if you're ever going to say this is what we compare superheroes to.
Yeah. I mean,
right?
they weren't called superheroes before him. You know, but if I was to say, like, I would actually say Batman has become the perfect hero.
Oh, right. But even then, he still does things like that are questionable. Like, people are like, why'd you let him live? You've indirectly killed so many people.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so, but the thing is like, they're flawed, and so their stories are interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the flaws. It's not just the flaws that make them interesting.
It's the dichotomy between the flaws and the perfections.
Right.
Is what, I mean, that's how any drama is done.
Right. So yeah. I guess what I'm trying to say is that's my main criticism of the story.
Yeah.
But it's not a suck for me, because, like I said, I kind of was just like, I'm just pretending that he's seeing more into it than we are.
Yeah.
I can't imagine somebody is just drawing a couple sketches and being like, screw it, I'm never going to draw heroes again, and just rip the page, because that's what he does.
Yes.
He just, like, rips them out of existence because this isn't working for me.
Yeah.
Now, near the end, when we find out that these are people he didn't create himself, that kind of makes a little bit more sense. It's like, it's close, but it's not quite right. It's not what I'm thinking in my head.
These aren't the versions I would, because to be fair, these characters are created because of toys.
Right.
They're not created because like we said before, the toys are the impetus behind all these creations, but, like, what the people do with them is the interesting part.
Mm-hmm.
These characters were created for toys.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of derivative of his original. There's even a criticism for the bad guys, like, you're all the same and stuff like that. And then, like, he comes out and is like, everybody is a derivative. He says something about, like, no person is a derivative of another person or something.
Yeah, they're their own thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I could see that, where it's like, this isn't what I would do.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because he eventually makes his own, which is the, actually don't know what the first Sentai.
Go Ranger.
Go Ranger. Yeah, so he draws Go Ranger and...
He's Go Red.
Go Red.
Yeah, I believe it's Go Red.
Which reminds me, when they all stepped out, because it's like, it's just the two of them and they're fighting everybody, and it's like, this isn't going to be enough. And it's like, oh, because after me, there's going to be, you know, 50 years of this. And they're like, oh, and there's going to be 45 more seasons of us. And they all step out in a kind of a V.
Yeah.
And there's nothing but red. Yeah. And I thought you said that there were main characters that weren't red.
No, this, there's always been the, this one is the first one, this Zenkaiger,
the white one.
is the first one where the red wasn't the main character.
Okay, okay. All right, good, because I was mixing it up in my head then.
Yeah,
because
this is the first one. Every other one, the Red Ranger has been the leader, and in most times, the predominant story.
Okay, because honestly, I'm going to be honest with you, as far as the big fight goes, them all being red made it very hard.
Oh, yeah. And then there's like 9 or 10 red riders, too.
Yeah, because it was like, thank God they had the labels popping up.
Yeah, because that was just a mess.
I'm sitting here looking, I'm like, where? Like, even when somebody I know was there, like, because their icon pops up, I'm like staring at the screen, being like, I don't see him. Where are they?
Yeah.
Did they go left? Is he in the middle?
Because I don't like I know every single writer.
Okay.
I might not have seen their entire show, but I've seen at least some of every single writer's show.
Mm.
I've seen like most. I think there's only like four or five shows I haven't watched all the way through. And like that was because at the time they weren't translated or something like that. But the Sentai, I've only seen like four or five Sentai shows.
Mm.
But I have I know maybe like I don't know 10 or 11 Sentai.
Okay, fair enough.
And like so I know all the writers, I know all of the Sentai members for those shows I've seen all the way through.
Okay, fair enough.
And then I can recognize and like name
like a handful here and there.
A handful of other ones, you know. And that's mostly from seeing the pirate one, because that one was like the 45th anniversary.
Okay.
Or the 40th anniversary, I'm not sure.
It
was the 35th anniversary of Sentai, and so they went back and they saw all the other 35 ones, and so like that's where I've seen a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't name them all. Like, okay. I can name the writers.
Right, yeah, because, you know, you're more involved with the writer than Sentai.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a reason we're not doing a Sentai podcast.
Yeah.
I do have a question, though. Like, what was the random wolf guy? Like, I couldn't tell, like his suit. I'm like, is that Sentai?
That's yes.
Because it's not Kamen Rider, right?
So, like I said, they added some extra ones in. Okay, so, if you haven't seen the show, what happened is two groups get split off.
Yeah, because it becomes the primary and secondary, right? Like, of... Or the...
Yes,
yeah, Kaito and Rintaro are going one way, and...
Toma and the red guy, I forgot
his
name.
Yeah, what is his name? Oh, my gosh. We just saw it.
Yeah.
Our search with an R? Whatever.
Yeah.
The red guy.
Yeah.
Zoo Ranger.
It's like Zenkar or something like that. Yeah. They go off, and then they have extra ones to go off. They like, split off. And it's like...
And they're on their own story worlds. Like, one's Journey to the West, the other one's Eight Dogs or something like
that.
Yeah,
the Eight Dogs, which is, like, a kind of a version of, like, Seven Samurai or whatever. I think Seven Samurai was based off of Eight Dogs.
Ah, that makes perfect sense. That seems
like that's likely. I think that's what it is.
But yeah, so in that storyline, they have to find the other swordsman in order to complete the story. Because at this point in time, their hypothesis is that if they complete the story, everything will go back to normal.
Yeah, they have to get to the end of the story to like move on to the next stage. And so yeah, so in the samurai story, they meet. I can't remember his name is Deca Master. I always remember because I remember his Power Ranger version.
Okay, yeah,
which was Doggy Kruger. he's a member of in English it was SPD, in Japanese is Deca Ranger.
Okay,
and so a Deca Ranger was like a space police force.
Okay.
And so they had a bunch of alien races.
Yeah, Galactic Ito Ryu is what he says.
Yeah, so
the thing is, because that's why I was wondering, because when I'm looking at the suit, I'm like, it doesn't quite look.
He was a extra ranger for. He was the sixth or seventh one for Deca Ranger.
Yeah.
So like he started the show as the commander, and at later in the show became a ranger.
Gotcha.
And so, but like he's the swordsman. He was the swordsman of the group.
Okay, yeah.
And then later on, they got the Kara Manger, who was like the one just before this one or something. And he was the swordsman of that. And then they just had another Shinkanger because they were all swordsmen in Shinkanger because they were samurai.
Okay. And they were having a duel or whatever.
Yeah, they were having a duel.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just I saw him and that's why I was wondering if maybe he was a third, like he was just thrown in as a third, not either of them.
Yeah, he's an extra. He's an extra.
Sentai.
Sentai, just like. The two that were, they were also extra Sentai. Okay, they were from the space one that had 12.
Gotcha.
Because they were like all Zodiacs. But on the,
that's probably one of those, this is all who we can get situations, not necessarily.
Yeah, because it's like, popular. They're suits. So they can just have suit actors in there.
Hmm.
And then they don't have to worry about like getting a face actor and they can just have the voice actor.
Yeah.
On the Journey to the West side, they run across, those are the four Imogen who are the forms of Denno.
Okay, yeah. Because I recognize the one.
Yeah.
Momotaru.
Yeah, Momotaru, he's sword form, he's the base form of, so like I've told you, Denno is like a guy who gets possessed by different things and each one is a different form.
Yeah.
So in the show, they don't interact in the real world. They're all on the Denliner, which is the only place they're physical, and then they like
possess
him, and there is different forms. And so then there's like rod form, sword form, gun form, and axe form.
Okay.
And they're just different forms. But they are like I said, Denno is like one of the most popular Kamen Rider shows. Yeah. They're still making stuff for it. And it's because like the four voice actors for those characters are like big time voice actors.
Okay. So they're not going anywhere.
No.
They're available for you to.
Because that's their job. they are always doing voice actor work. So just get them in the booth to do the voice for this.
It doesn't matter how they look either. So.
Yeah. And we just throw whoever we want in the forms. So. Yeah. Also, when they arrive at the Journey of the West, that's the big giant statue. That's Omazeo.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to ask at first, I'm like, what is this? But then later when he comes back as like a human form, calling himself Zeo, I'm like, oh, that's where I've seen that outfit.
Grand yeah. So Zeo. That's Omazeo. That's Overlord Zeo, the evil version of himself from the future.
Okay.
Because that's how Zeo is. It's like kind of reverse.
Decade?
No, it's a reverse Terminator. People from the future come back to kill the evil overlord, becomes the hero, before he becomes the evil overlord, and they decide to just make him a better person.
Oh, rather than kill him.
So he actually has to fight his future evil self.
That's
which,
pretty nifty. Yeah. That's not a bad idea.
You know, it had bad things and good things to it, but like I think Zeo was not bad overall. Mm. But then, yeah, so then they meet up with Zeo. I forgot the character's name. Of Zeo.
The main character's name. Whatever. Yeah. Zeo, we know.
Yeah, I remember, I was like, I feel bad that I don't remember his name.
The thing is, you're going to remember as soon as we turn the podcast
off. Oh, yeah, probably. But anyway, so, yeah, they meet him, and then they just fight a lot of bad guys.
There's a lot of fighting going on. It's very kind of, like I said, besides the start of the story where you're not quite sure what's going on, it's kind of just cut and dry, you know,
yeah.
Big battle scenes.
They're fighting two monsters. One is a saber version of a Zenkaiger villain, and the other one is a Zenkaiger version of a saber villain.
Right.
And so they're just going, and then they get to the end of the story.
Come
and
find out it was a trap.
Who has that? Oh, it was Kaito has, because they're like the lost books or whatever they're.
Oh, that's right. They all get sucked in this because they find a random book.
If they're a Sentai, they find a writer book. If they're a writer, they find a Sentai book.
Yeah, and then they just get kind of sucked into this weird dream space.
Yeah, which is the thing. And so
I will say this. Okay, one of my things I really like about it is that at first, everyone in the Saber universe is sure that they're the one true reality.
Yeah.
And everybody else is a story because they have this bookshelf with all the stories on it. So obviously, this is where you came from. We've seen your stories before.
Yeah. So then it turns out that Kaito had the Saber story the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time. Find out Saber is also a story. And,
yeah.
You know, there's that whole
existential
crisis.
At this point, it made me realize, okay, so this is why this isn't kind of connected to the actual show and the actual crossover.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't recognize each other.
Yeah, I was confused by that at first, and then
it's like this is the story version.
Yeah,
it's not the actual version.
Right.
This is like a rough draft. So yeah. It's like you can make it out. Just like this isn't the real version of Saber. This is the story version of Saber.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's also this part where he sees Luna, and they have that, you know, the touching sort of, I don't want to go, like, giving her a hug, like, I finally found you thing. And I'm like, this would probably be more impactful for me if I actually saw this in between those episodes.
Yeah. But the funny thing is like, this is the first time the adult form of Luna appears.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he recognizes her later on as Luna.
Yes.
So my thinking is, like, Toma is the only one who kind of remembers what's going on.
I feel like he was probably blessed by Ishinomori in that case.
Yeah,
helped him write the story.
Yeah, because he wrote the story, so I'm thinking he might not know everything, but he kind of remembers this adventure.
Yeah.
That would be the only thing that makes anything make any sense.
Right.
And like we said before, we're the only ones who are making sense of this. They don't care.
It doesn't have to make sense. Yeah. I did like Aruto's part in it. It was very small. I was hoping it wasn't gonna be a huge part.
Yeah.
And it was just like I love the part where he's like in there and Saber, like, Toma's like, oh, are you one of the swordsmen? And he's like, apparently.
Yeah.
He's like kicking stuff.
I forgot how much I've missed, like, because we haven't been recording for a while.
Right.
It's been even longer since we've seen 01, but it was just like, oh, man. Oh, that was a bad, good joke. That was a good, bad joke.
It was good, good, bad, bad, good.
Yeah, and you're
good,
like,
bad,
oh,
good.
That's Aruto. I remember Aruto.
Classic Aruto.
But yeah, it's like, I guess I am. And like, yeah, it was just a cameo, really.
Right.
Because I think that was the only scene he was in. Other than that, it was Saber.
Suit,
it was Saber, and then he got erased when they all got ripped up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, this is the kind of thing that I told you about that like happens in these weird crossover movies.
Yeah.
Like in one of the in the it was the Zio build crossover movie. They traveled back in time and they stopped a kid from watching the first episode of Kuga.
Okay.
Which caused the Heisei writers to never happen. It's like,
wouldn't it make more sense for like stopping somebody from watching Black RX or something like that? Like whoever made Kuga, like whoever revived Kuga.
Yeah, it was like, I'm telling you, it made no sense.
Because it's like it's already on its way now. It's in the company's hand.
Well, no, because the kid was a singularity point, which is this thing in Kamen Rider, which means it's a person who is unaffected by time manipulation. So, like, they took him, they made it so it never happened, so that he was the only person who knew it would happen, so they stopped it from happening.
Oh. Huh.
It's a thing from Denno. The main character is a character who is immune to temporal manipulation.
Okay, so it's something that's based in that show and would be explained in that show. So if you're watching this, you would know.
Yeah.
It's not something I should know in general.
Yeah. Okay. But like I'm saying, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, this was...
And in that movie, too, they found out they were fiction.
But this was digestible.
Yeah.
It was... I'll give it this. It was digestible. Like, I got where they were going with it. I know what they're trying to say, even if it was, like, a little sappy in some spots.
And yeah.
Like, again, you know, the pen is mightier than the sword. You're not supposed to take that literally. Every once in a while, it can be a good joke, but at a certain point, don't, you know... We get it. You've got a sword, or you got a pencil, and you're going to block all the power. I get. Okay.
Well, to be fair, it was like an energy slash thing, so like...
Yeah.
If you just walked up and hit it with the actual sword, it might have killed him.
Right. I mean, and that's the least of my worries as far as cheese go. Like, as far as, like, I knew the moment it went giant kaiju, the bad guy went giant kaiju, I was like, oh, we're getting Zords. No, we got, like, them riding the things with giant laser swords.
So what happened is because of the way it was done. So... Thankfully, because that'd be way too many suits. When all 45 Sentai came in, it wasn't their whole team. It was just the Reds.
Yes.
So when they summoned the mechs and stuff, it was just the red mechs that showed up.
Okay.
It wasn't the combined robots. It was just whatever their vehicle was.
Okay. Like their individual parts.
Yes. So it was a lot of just vehicles, not like a lot of giant robots fighting.
Right.
But
I think that's what kills me about it is like it all felt like overkill, not just because of how many characters and all the stuff happening on screen, but because the guy never once threw another punch back.
Yeah.
It was like they were just wanting to all get a piece of him.
Yeah. But before that, we got this would have been, other than like if you watched the movie, the short movie before this is the first time you see a Revice.
Yes. That was actually pretty cool.
Which is like a thing that they've been doing for a long time, actually.
Is the first reveals on the crossover?
Yes.
I dig it.
Usually it's the crossover. It's not always the crossover, but it's the movie before the show happens. It started back, I think, in Denno. It actually started way back in Denno. Kiva appeared in Denno's movie.
Okay.
And then Decade appeared in Kiva's movie, I think it was. But like when we get to Double's movie, Oz appears in it. And like that's how it's been like going on like that. Usually the next writer makes an appearance. Makes like a surprise appearance. Sometimes it's only in the suit. Sometimes it's with the actor. Determined. Depends on like if the actor is available or not.
Constraints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. So like because they didn't have the actor in this one. But then like I really liked how it like appeared, and like the idea was that like I can't remember how it was actually worded, but it was worded that something about like. If all of the writers have bad stuff in them, and so everybody's like good and bad together, then I'll just be the protagonist.
Yeah,
talking about like a bad guy being the protagonist, and then Revice shows up.
Yeah, and he does like an evil overlord intro.
You know,
like,
Vice is a devil.
Demon.
Yeah, so it's like that's the idea. It's like there already is one. That position's been taken.
Yeah, sorry about you.
To be fair, I will say Asmodeus's like monster form is pretty awesome.
It was. It was pretty sweet.
The funny thing is it looks a lot like a Garo monster.
Oh, it does, doesn't it?
And damn, I'm like, maybe they were like, poking fun. Like, you want to be all bad? Like,
right. It's like, oh, you think we're bad?
Because
like, yeah.
Garo is like the edge lord of Tokusatsu.
Yeah. It's like that. Yeah. The hero on that's not much of a hero.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's got no hero qualities, but he's definitely 70, like 70 30 at the very least.
Yeah. And then they did have a little thing with like when the massive fight was happening, they, the main guy, because like the main guy of Zenkaiger, they have gears, and each gear is a Sentai. Mm. And so it either gives him a form or a special move or something like that. And so he threw an unauthorized one in, and he shot out, and those extra three came out that like that were like ghosts and stuff like that. And they did that weird thing, made them surrender and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that is a spoof show of Sentai.
Okay.
It's actually called Unofficial Abba Ranger.
Oh, so they were just like...
The characters in the show, the main Red was a fan of Sentai. He was a Sentai otaku.
Okay.
Who got like powers to beat delusions or something like that. And so it was like a mock. It was like a love letter and spoof of Sentai at the same time.
Right, right.
And so, but it was actually, the actual title of it is Unofficial Sentai Abba Ranger.
Okay. Unofficially. Okay.
Unofficial. And it was like the first, it was like revolutionary because it was the first Sentai where it was a red male and a blue female and a yellow female because it was only the three of them and he was the only guy. And he's just like, this never happened before. And so, but yeah, so that's like, he put an unofficial gear in and it made all of the monsters act unofficial where they just like surrender.
Okay.
That was the joke. But it's like that, they're sort of part of the thing. Like, I gotta go back and watch it. I don't know if G was in the Kamen Rider. That would be the interesting thing.
G?
Kamen Rider G. It's a hard one. There's Kamen Rider J, who's a movie, but there's Kamen Rider G, who was a writer created for the anniversary of the station the Kamen Rider was on. He had, like, one, like, 20-minute episode thing that was like his whole origin story and his creation and all this stuff, and his theme was wine. And it was like, you watch it, I'm like, I can watch a whole show of this. And like,
it's TV's in the background somewhere.
Yes, TV's one of them. There is another thing you wouldn't notice unless you watch it. Shin is a statue.
Shin?
Yeah. In the movie, Shin is a statue because they don't have the Shin suit.
Oh,
it got destroyed.
By what?
By this, like, it got corroded and got destroyed just like...
Oh, from... Okay. It just didn't stand the test of time.
Yeah.
And they don't have the specs to, like, recreate
it? I have no idea what's going on with that. Because, like, literally, Shin does not move. It's actually a statue they've taken from, like, a Kamen Rider display or something like that. And he just stands there. When they all turn, he's just stands still.
Oh, he's just already standing or whatever?
Yeah, like, when they all, like, turn forward, Shin doesn't move.
Why even have him if he's a movie writer anyway?
Well,
like,
they have all the others, but it's just like, it's so funny because they just don't have the suit. It's just a statue.
You'd think that they could lazily slap something together.
Yeah,
right?
I know, but no.
Funny.
So yeah, if you go back and watch it, just Shin doesn't move. But yeah, so it's, but yeah, after, there was that whole thing where like he was in the weird void thing.
Yeah, because what happens is they lose. They fall for the trap. They get beaten because he tricks Ishinomori into ripping him up. And he gets put in this good place, bad place. It's like there's no bad here. It's a happy ending for him. He gets, yes, like, everything is perfect. Like, his friends never got separated. It's him, Luna, and Kenzo
all the
time.
So, like, he's in a world, it's like, if there was never Kamen Rider.
Yeah, Kento's dad's alive. Like,
yeah, they're just like, it's like,
it's bright and sunny.
It's like,
and everyone's
Kento
happy.
And Toma are like roommates, and Luna's their friend who like comes over all the time.
Yeah,
and then like it shows a scene of like Kento and them just like they're having dinner with Kento and his dad and stuff like that. Yeah.
And it's like you can tell he's happy, but he's not happy. Like he knows how he got here.
Yeah, it's like
this is wrong.
Yeah, and like Buster still has a kid, even though the reason why he has a wife is because of Kamen Rider. But you know. Details.
Bah. Yeah. So, anyways,
life finds a way.
Life finds a way. But no, he sneaks out of his own happy place and just goes into Ishinomori's, where he's just like Mei's his editor, and
yeah,
he's writing this other not Kamen Rider manga that's like totally,
it's not a hero manga.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah. Where it's just like a romance probably or something like that.
Right, and Toma's like, hey, you gotta write hero stuff. And they're like, nah, we're done with that. And he's like, come on, you gotta. And they're like, come on, just don't mess things up and you could be here all happy. And he's like, you know, we're not free here.
I liked how he said, he's just like, hey, at one point he even says, I wish I could stay here.
Yeah.
But I have to go back to where it's hard.
Yeah. Right. We can't just abandon our stories.
Yeah.
It's that kind of a big part of it. It's like, yeah, sure, there's some bad involved, but there's a lot of good, you know?
Yeah, because, like, I guess since there isn't no heroes, there's still just the bad guys exist?
Yeah, that was confusing to me, because when all the heroes are gone, and there's, like, all of the bad guys in a circle around the main bad, Asmodeus, and he's like, aha, now we can rampage as much as we want. There's nobody to stop us. And it's like, so does that mean he didn't write any of the villains? There was just some other guy out there living out his dark side? Like,
makes no sense. It makes even less sense than time travel in most times.
Yeah, that's when it kind of all fell apart. And it's like, thankfully, the story part was ending in the next like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It was just going to be a big battle, because if we had kept going with it,
yeah,
I was going to die off.
But yeah, so then they go into the big CGI nightmare that ends most crossover movies. Yeah. Yeah. To be fair, they are getting better. We're going to watch some bad, bad CGI villain endings.
Honestly, that big fight scene, it almost felt like a LARPer's dream. Like, it's a happy place of anybody who's ever wanted to be. Because, you know, there's got to be enough extras there that they're hiring out to, like, tertiary stunt companies.
Yeah,
and
guys
like, I'm going to be in a Kamen Rider suit. And it doesn't matter that you're not going to get any lines and you're not going to do nothing.
You're just going to fall off this.
Yeah, you're just going to be the guy rolling down the hill. You're still going to be happy about rolling down that hill. You're going to pause it and point at the screen.
I was Shocker Trooper number 4, man.
Yeah, they need like 200 dudes or whatever for that whole thing.
Which is probably why they don't have enough money to make a Shin suit.
Right. No kidding.
Yeah, and that's the only time you see Shin. He doesn't appear later on. He doesn't appear in the giant where they showed every other rider and every other Sentai member. They don't show Shin.
Yeah. Aw.
They made sure to make sure Jay's there, but I mean, they didn't. Jay's supposed to turn giant.
Mm. Yeah, and he never did.
Yeah, that's
there
the point.
There was never a giant.
Yeah, that was the point of Jay, is that he turned giant.
Maybe we should check again when there's, because I think that at the very end when they're doing the final kick and then the energy attacks, I think there were the Zoids or the
Zords.
Zords. I don't know why I said Zords. I know why I said Zoids, but I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
But anyways, all the Zords
mechs,
are lined up.
Because they're not Zords. Right. Zords and either.
Maybe he's standing there.
Maybe.
But I wasn't really, there's so much on the screen that I would have to pause.
Yeah,
it and stare.
It's like the compression of the, because there's so many lighting effects happening.
Really, I was just imagining, at that moment, I was watching all of them drop down to do the rider kicks, and I'm like, you guys are in ground zero right now for huge, mega, colossal
that always happens.
Energy attack that, if it's killing him, it's killing you. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to harsh your vibe.
Yeah,
you want to get out of there.
It's just a lot of stuff happening because it's 50 years of Rider and 45 Sentai teams,
it's
and just like
get bigger and bigger every time.
Yeah. 60th anniversary show, it's gonna be like crazy because there's gonna be a 50th anniversary of Sentai and a 55th anniversary of Rider at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
It's to the point now where it's ridiculous. It's like almost every series is an anniversary of some sort.
Yeah. Because you could make up whatever you want. It's the fifth or tenth digit, or it's 30th since then, or this is the
So there was a cameo in this thing that was actually just that. The guy that said happy birthday with the cake.
Yeah, what was that?
He is a character from Oath, which is in its 10th anniversary.
Okay. Yeah, because there was two times actually I wrote them down as Random Old Guy and Random Old Guy 2.
Oh,
so that's Random Old Guy 2 that you
just
mentioned.
That's Random Old Guy 2. I'm glad you brought this up because I got to talk about the boss of the train.
On the Denliner?
The Denliner. So they go to the Denliner at one point, which is like a thing everybody does. So he's like the guy who owns the train. That I think he's they don't really call him the conductor or anything like that. He owns the Denliner. The train time, and he's the guy there, and he's eating this fried rice dish.
Yeah, okay.
This dish I get every time I go to the Kamen Rider Cafe.
Is it that good?
It's a great, like, fried rice dish. But there's this thing, because he did it through all of Denno, and he does it here. He said he eats it's a scoop of fried rice with a flag in it, the Denlighter flag. And the idea is you're supposed to eat around it to make and go as far as you can without the flag falling over.
Yeah.
You're supposed to eat as much as you can, and, like, every time the flag falls over for a various reason, he does that little goofy face thing. But the rice is really good. It's just fried rice, but it's just well-done fried rice. And you can get a smaller one or a larger one. I always get the larger one.
Right.
But
of course.
But it's, like, that's the stuff that's, like, in the Kamen Rider Cafe. They'll have stuff like that, and they'll have, like, inspired dishes. Like, Banjo and Build is, like, a bodybuilder. Not really. He's just he's a boxer. He's a fighter. He's not a bodybuilder. He's a Japanese guy. And he's a scrawny, skinnier. But he has, like, he's always, like, eating protein.
Mm.
And so there's, like, a protein bowl type thing.
Okay.
You know. But, yeah, so, and that's the owner from the Denliner. And he's been around for a long time.
Okay.
And I don't think he's aged. Because he's always been that. Like, when he was in Denno, he looked exactly like that.
He's hit that moment. He's going to stay that way for 40 years. Yeah, and then, all of a sudden,
he is 9,000 years old.
He's going to wake up with full white hair and, like, leaning over on a cane.
Yeah. And so the other guy is, I forgot his name off the top of my head, but he is from Oz. And, like, that was one of his things. He was a weird guy. And I don't want to give away the whole thing in the story, but he's always baking birthday cakes.
Dude, that was such a weird moment because it was in the middle. It was inappropriate. It was not appropriate for the scene. I don't understand what was happening. I was going to ask you later. I was thinking, like.
So he actually did something similar to that in the first episode of Oz. He created a birthday cake and he's like, "Happy birthday, Oz." And so it's the same thing with Revice. But it's like, but it's the 10th anniversary because, like, this year. The show started in, I think, 2001 and ended in 2002, the O's.
Okay.
And they're releasing, there is a 10th anniversary movie coming out for O's.
Okay.
Like this year. I guess because they didn't do one for Double. But but the thing is like, because both those actors have, like, moved on to other things.
Yeah.
But, like, the actors for O's have come back, like, multiple times to do things. He was in Zio, and there was, like, a great thing in Zio. And then, like, he randomly appeared in a crossover movie that you didn't even know about. I was like, what the? It's edgy. I don't know what's going on here. Because, like, the idea of edgy is, like, at the end of it and, like, at the start of the show is, like, he wanders and he's just trying to help people.
Okay.
And so, like, if he appears, you're like, okay, well, yeah, he's here.
Yeah, he's here now. All
right. He's a little bit like Decade. But, yeah, so that was because O's is in its anniversary.
Okay.
So it's a happy birthday to O's, but it's also, like, the start of Revice. But, yeah, so that was kind of weird. But, yeah, that was...
It made me...
That is 100% fan service. Both of those guys, 100% fan service for people who've seen all the shows.
Okay.
Not even, like, main writers, just tertiary guys.
Yeah, just random dudes.
Yeah. If you watch it, you're like, I have no idea what's going on. And the funny thing is there might have been stuff like that for
Sentai that we just didn't recognize.
That I just didn't recognize, yeah.
Yeah, because it just seems like there should be. At the very least.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised that they got the guy back from Shinkanger. He said he was always talking about, because, like, how Shinkanger worked was, like, the Red Ranger was the feudal lord and everybody else was his vassals.
They were talking about the guy with the green?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's just like, I wish my lord was here and stuff like that. Then turned out he wasn't the feudal lord. He was actually a replacement for the feudal lord. Who was, like, this lady, and he was actually just, like, supposed to be out in the open acting as a feudal lord, so the people targeted him, which was the reason why he wasn't close to any of the other rangers, because he was lying to them the whole time.
Yeah, and it would feel wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
So it was actually a pretty cool story when it was done that way.
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah. Also came out to be the first female Red Rider, Red Ranger.
Yeah.
She came in for, like, two or three episodes, and then they realized that, like, no, you're actually the leader of the team, and she's still the feudal lord, but you're still a member of the team.
You're still the team leader, bro.
Yeah. But yeah, it was kind of funny that, because that's just how it is. They just grabbed, I think, just whoever they could.
Mm-hmm.
And
they probably sent messages to everybody. It's like, you want to come in on this?
Well, the thing is, like, the Reds are more like, are more likely to become
big
bigger names, just like the main writer.
Yeah.
most likely to move on to be like different roles and all that stuff. But yeah, so there's a, but like, yeah, it was like the way we're talking about it makes it sound like a mess because it was a mess.
Yeah, I really, the cohesive part of the story died off after like 20 minutes. And then because it's like, okay, obviously they're jumping into each other's universes and they're doing some stuff. Then they get stuck in story world space, and that's when everything starts to become a big sort of, we really don't know what's going on, here's a fight. We still don't know what's going on, here's a fight. Okay, we're kind of knowing what's going on, here's another fight. Okay, we messed up, here's another fight.
We need to find all the swordsmen. Let's follow our swordsman sense and just walk out into the woods and find two.
Yeah.
We need to get to the end here. Let's summon a flying train.
Yeah.
You know?
The plot itself was a plot device, so there's like no point in really hashing out the details. We could say sentence by sentence everything that happened. We've done it before, but, you know, I feel like everything that there's worth mention and we kind of brought up, I feel like if we missed anything, it's like...
Yeah, it is like... I don't feel like I'll ever go back and watch it again.
The problem is that a lot of the stuff that happened, I need to have seen that Sentai.
Yeah.
Or watched, like, Denno, I understand what he is. Like, Zio, I get him. I know what he's, I see him. You know, I know where he's from. I had a vague understanding of his character, but I haven't watched the series. So anything he does, it means nothing to me. I don't know if the actor portrayed his character the way he was supposed to. Like, I know Rintaro and Toma and all them, they were who I remember.
Yeah.
So I know they did it right. But, like, and Revice, I saw Revice, and that looks like Revice that I've seen.
And Aruto.
And Aruto was Aruto, right?
Yeah.
But as far as, like, I have no idea how... Momotaro acts normally, so I don't know if his Wukong version was
that's pretty much character. They're joke characters against each other mostly because they're taking us.
And since it's a gigantic fan service movie, it's like I can't really
we've said before, Denno is really popular in Japan and it's not popular in the West.
Yeah, because we got to see Fujioka.
Yes. Oh yeah, that's right.
Since we talked about Fujioka at the start, and here we are. He's in it.
Yeah, he appears, and he knew that that was his creator.
Yeah, definitely breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah,
big time, but that's okay.
It's like this is the story worlds brought together.
Yeah.
So this is this version of Hongo was the one he created for this part.
But plus two. Okay, the thing about stories, like not just stories, like any movie, we only have the perspective of the characters that we're seeing. We have no idea what Hongo was doing the entire runtime, and he's got 600 IQ. So he may as well,
he figured
everything out. He wasn't there to stop any of it from happening. He's stuck in weird story space, and then he's back having, you know, he went through his whole existential crisis just like the rest of them.
Yeah.
You know, who knows how many, they could have been high-fiving in dream space for all we know.
That is actually, it's not like a common thing, but it's not the first time that a writer found out that they were fiction and be like, oh, well.
Yeah, meh. Like, honestly, though, if we found out we were fictional characters.
It's like, how much would that change?
What does it change? Because it's like, I've always hated that storyline being like, oh, it doesn't matter what I do. I'm just going to do what's already written. And then it's like, well, you're still doing what you want to do.
Yeah, it actually was actually handled pretty good in Saber because you had the both sides. Because you had Toma, who's like... Yeah, so what?
Yeah, yeah.
If it's all written in there, so what? That doesn't change anything. And then Storius was just like, what's the point of anything? It's all pointless and all this stuff. Ah. And Tom was like, so what?
Yeah. At the end of the day, you can still go for what you want. And whether or not the story is about you getting what you want or not, you don't know. It's got nothing to do with you.
The only thing that would affect it is if you found out your genre.
Yeah. Oh, dear God. See, that's the kind of thing that would be horrible right there. It's like, you know, this is a tragedy. At that point, no matter what you do, it sucks.
Well, like I told you about that, I think it's a manga too, but there's a drama. It actually ties back because the actor who plays Build is in it. And it's a guy who finds out that he's a manga, but he finds out he's in a BL manga.
Oh, I remember you telling me that.
And he desperately has to fight to not become gay.
Yeah, because you have to. Because you know, it's not about what you want in that case.
Yeah.
This is about what the fans want.
Yeah, so he has to, like, make sure he's in an odd number and that the other people are all hooking up. And he can't be too much of a loner because then he's the loner.
Uh-huh. So yeah, you're fiercely trying to avoid stereotypes. But no, okay, so I will say that I feel like I do want to make a difference between knowing you're in a story and then knowing how your story ends.
Yeah.
Two different things. One has value, the other one, in my opinion, doesn't. You know you're in a story, whatever. You're in a story. You know how the story ends. At that point, there's finality to it. Then it becomes a discussion on whether or not it changes based on what you're doing.
Yeah.
Is it really ending that way?
Yeah.
Whereas the other one, it's like you're in a story. It's like, okay, whatever. We didn't know what reality was to begin with.
Yeah.
Computer program, story.
Yeah.
Endless existence, or, you know, I just become worm food. Does it matter? Not really. I'm just going to go out and get mine.
Magic 2.0, they find out reality is a computer program. And like one of the guys is like, then we find out God isn't real. He's just like, what? No. We just moved the step back one time. It's like, who? We know the life's a computer program. Who wrote it?
Yeah, who wrote it?
Maybe it was a guy with the initials G-O-D, and he did it in 6 days. Who knows?
Yeah.
We just put it back one step.
Yeah. I mean, because the thing is, like, every time you find the answer to a question, there's just going to be another question. Yeah. You're never going to get all the answers. So,
so I think, so you want to do a writer ranking?
Well, yeah, start from the A's. No, let's. I said we do like let's do a Suck and Sequoia because I have one that I'm holding on to.
I'm joking about the writer ranking because they're all in here.
Can you imagine? So we can pull up a list and start.
Yes. It's lame that it would be like Saber at the top because he's the only one who actually did anything in the movie.
Right.
So my all-time favorite.
Even Kaito didn't get anything. He was just kind of like a couple gag lines.
Yeah. It was a Saber movie.
It was definitely a Saber movie.
So, like, Saber, like, the Kamen Riders usually carry the crossover movies.
Okay. I was going to ask about that. Yeah, because it seemed very Kamen Rider focused.
Well, so, I don't know if this is completely the case, but in general, Rider draws does better in the Rider does do better in the theaters than Sentai does.
Okay.
But I think Sentai does better in toy sales, so it's kind of like...
Oh, okay. Yeah. If you're making a movie, then you're going to focus on Kamen Rider because those are the fans that...
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're going to aggressively market toys, like, so you might get a bigger spread of, like, not third party, but, like, this is the more novelty items, or, like, this might not necessarily be a belt or a gun or a suit, but, like, yeah, here's... whatever is Yatsuda special dish.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Cause like in this version of Sentai, they're able to have the untransformed and a transformed action figure.
Right.
That's not just a person.
Yeah.
Cause their untransformed thing is robots.
Yeah. There you go. Okay.
You know? And so then the toys and the gears and all this stuff, it's just because of the number of characters and stuff like that. But for the longest time, the movies have been writer centered.
Okay.
Like, you know how they've been having it like, short, like there was a short Saber movie and things like that. They've been up until recently, or maybe they still do it, but like it's been a double feature Sentai Rider movie, but the Sentai movie was like 25 minutes.
Okay.
And then the Rider movie was a full time.
Okay. Yeah.
Not on the crossover, but when there's like the standalone Saber movie.
So like a 2-to-1 runtime. Yeah, so that kind of pans out. That makes sense for what happened.
Yeah, so
here.
In most of the crossover movies, it's Rider that carries the movie, and like the Sentai is the guest.
Yeah, I mean there was so much Toma in this that the Red Rider from Senkaidra got more screen time than Kaito did.
Yeah,
which was kind of awkward to think about.
And you can definitely tell that, and that's just how it's been for a long time. It's because it's the movie draw.
Hmm.
And that has to do with a lot of like age-wise, because Sentai is usually marketed towards a little bit of a younger one group. So those kids are less likely to go to the theater.
By themselves.
Or like even less likely to sit still in a movie theater.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah.
But a 9-year-old kid is way easier to go take to see a movie than a 7-year-old kid.
At that point, if your 9-year-old's acting up in the theater, it's because you're not disciplining them properly.
Yeah, yeah. So,
or they have like an undiagnosed mental condition that keeps them from settling down. I'm not trying to say prescribe Ritalin to your children that won't shut up the theater. Just maybe slip some cough syrup in their drink. Yeah. Whatever you got to do.
So yeah, so they market movies more towards Saber.
Be so messed up.
Yeah. So that is why, and even on the billing, Saber is listed first before Zenkaiger.
Okay, so it's just traditionally there's no equivalent Zenkaiger Saber movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's usually the movies are more focused towards the end. Also traditionally, like even that short Sentai movies don't matter.
Like to the actual story.
To the actual story, there might be a new toy.
Gotcha.
Usually, like here's a new Zord or something like that. Right. But it's not gonna move the story along. It's not gonna reveal this. Like this is the first time we saw the adult Luna. this is like a very
we got Revice.
Revice.
Yeah.
And we got some and like you were saying, this is a Toma movie with it's not even like a Saber movie. This is a Toma movie.
It's a Toma movie, yeah.
Cuz it's about fictional characters and being a writer and like creating a world and stuff like that. And like books and all this stuff. It's a Toma movie that has the other writers and then guest starring Sentai.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's just how it is.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with that because I prefer writer.
Right. It matches my preference.
Yeah. So, I mean, you do get, in some of the other crossover movies, you get good reactions between the characters and stuff.
Yeah.
But usually, like they had those good interactions was in the episodes.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is definitely one of those you'll take the win when you can get one sort of things. Like, I don't know if you've ever had the situation where you're playing, like, Call of Duty and you can see the guy on the enemy team is clearly disconnected. And you're like, okay, if I don't shoot him in the head, somebody on my team's going to shoot him in the head, and this helps my KTD.
Yeah.
So you take the shot and you move on. This is kind of like Kamen Rider is the main focus of this. That's a win.
Yeah.
I count this as an absolute win.
Okay, so what is your suck?
Okay, so I said a couple of things that kind of, you know, meh, annoyed me. This is the one that really, it's unacceptable. I try not to use that word often because there's a lot of things you can accept. In this case, I do not accept movies that can't find a way to, looking for a word for it, but the volume should be what it is across the whole thing. So I don't know if this is just because with the version we got or whatever, but there are times when it spikes in volume so loud that I'm like, wow, my ears are hurting. And it's not because there's big gunshots or explosions. It's like because somebody starts narrating at 3 to 4 times the volume of the actual show.
The sound mixing.
It's bad. It was horrible.
I don't know if that's like this, the version we have or something like that. Because
the one time that it made sense was when the evil Zeo overlord started talking. And I'm like, okay, yeah, because they want a big booming, like scary voice, like, I am above you. And I'm like, okay, whatever. There was an explosion just before now that was a quarter of that volume. But then it goes to Toma and Mei reading the Saber book, and it was like 3 minutes, extremely loud. And I'm like, well, we shouldn't turn it down because the moment we turn it down, they're going to start talking normal. And I'm like, dude, this is, come on. Like, you guys were telling me that you edited this. You had to have had like a pre-showing, to, like maybe 3 or 4 people watching and be like, yeah, it was good or whatever. It's what I was expecting, just to check the product when it's finished. And not one person mentioned, wow, that was a really loud scene at this, about this time.
I don't know like how it was, mixing. But I think I might have told you that Japanese theaters are noticeably and sometimes painfully louder than American theaters.
Because I remember you telling me that, you know, just go in with kind of like light earplugs and you're pretty much set.
Yeah.
And that
I knew
sense.
People who just went in with full earplugs.
Yeah, because I sometimes there's theaters here, like it happens every now and then. It's usually for a movie you wouldn't expect. Like I was watching a Jackie Chan movie like 6 years ago or 7 years ago, the one where he's like nobody knows who he is and some stuff happened. Whatever. It's a good Jackie Chan movie. But the point is,
like most Jackie Chan movies.
Yeah. It was just way louder than I watched Eternals not too long ago, and that's a big action blockbuster movie with all kinds of stuff happening, heroic music, and it was nowhere near as loud as that Jackie Chan movie I saw. So sometimes it is what it is, but
yeah,
so that's how I imagine you're talking about when you talk about Japanese theaters where they just kind of like crank it to 11 and walk away.
Yeah. And it's just a lot louder and you just don't think about, like, you get used to it after a while, but
it's not a bad technique to drown out like other people talking or anything like that.
Which is funny because nobody talks in a movie theater.
It's like
Japan.
We need it here because of how rude people are. They're all like kind of, they understand that even though they're out and having a good time.
I still think I told you the funny part. I don't know if it's the best part, but the funny part is they'll like giggle, but nobody like bursts out laughing in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watch, like, you watch movies, and also almost all American movies go over there. They dub children's movies.
Mm.
But you can still go see those movies with subtitles.
Yeah.
And if you see it with subtitles, it's the original American audio. So that's usually where you would go if you're an American. You'd go see an American movie with just, you'd go to the subtitle one because it's in English with the Japanese subtitles, and you could just watch the movie. But it's funny because if you'll get a joke, you'll laugh, but you've laughed before the subtitles have told the joke. Oh,
and so nobody else knows that you're, yeah.
So you'll laugh before everybody else in the theater laughs.
So you're that guy.
Yeah. You're like, oh.
And it's like, wait. Oh. Yeah, I got to wait to laugh. Yeah. But But no, I mean, okay, Lord of the Rings was a cinematic masterpiece, okay? And if they could figure out to do whispers in a way that I can hear them and to do yelling in a way that doesn't hurt my ears, we can all agree on a way to do stuff that doesn't, like, I shouldn't have to turn my volume down to 10 and then back up to 35.
Yeah, there's, I mean, there's like, yeah, sound mixing is under focused on. It's undervalued, yeah. I really did like that there was, I don't know if they do it anymore, but like several years ago, there was this like technology that they were putting into TVs that would automatically adjust the volume to be just at the same decibel level.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they still do it.
I feel like it's probably getting harder these days, right? Well, no, because they're able to do like timestamps and stuff. So I feel like it's really just, is the data given to
you? Well, no,
you?
It would just be a post-processing thing where the computer would just recognize what this would be.
Yeah, because I mean, even like iTunes had that feature. You could just like right-click your track and then like change the whole thing.
Yeah, so, but yeah, so sound mixing is like an underappreciated art.
Appreciated, at the very least underappreciated. Yeah. So what's your suck?
So my suck is... Is this like the fact that they had a good idea with them following the stories? Like, oh, we're going to do the eight dogs. We're going to do Journey to the West. Mm. And then we're just going to throw those out. And like for a second there, I was thinking, oh, this could be pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have the characters we know doing a story that we kind of know.
Yeah.
And like this goofy way.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at is that it definitely the first half of the movie was good. And then it kind of...
And especially the eight dogs where it's like, I'm pretty sure they're... I don't know the story of eight dogs, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't... We walk into the woods, find two more, walk out, find one more.
And come to find out the other three were there all along.
Yeah.
In our hearts.
Yeah. It's like, come on. And then the Journey to the West is like, skip to the end.
Yeah. That one was, yeah, woefully underrepresented.
Yeah, because it was like... It's one of the most epic stories. It's like
that's ever been. Yeah,
that's like saying we're gonna do Romance of the Three Kingdoms. They fought a lot. End of story.
Yeah, they fought a lot. Now we're here in the present day China.
Yeah, just not even skip. Skip past all dynasties.
Yeah, the longest recorded history
the longest
of the earth.
Yeah, longest unbroken history of any country in the world.
And sum it up as just like, well, there's some fighting and stuff. These yeah. people conquered, those people liberated, and then conquered, and here we are.
Yeah. And there we go.
Yeah, rinse, repeat. Sometimes Mongols, sometimes not Mongols.
Yeah. So what is your Segoy?
Okay, so my Segoy is actually the suit variety. I was not expecting to see all of Rintaro's forms and all of... I mean, not all of them. I'm exaggerating. But there was, like, you got to see Daisenki. You got to see Frostbeast.
King Lion.
Yeah.
When was the last time we saw King Lion?
That's exactly. And then the same thing for Tomo. We got to see him with the, like, the red, gold, and blue all together.
Yeah,
and
he did the three
Cosmic
colors.
And then his base form.
Yeah.
And then I think we saw his triple volume, but I don't know if it was announced, but maybe not.
No, we didn't do the triple volume.
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
I know at least the first three that I mentioned. You know.
Yeah.
So, and that was more than I was expecting.
He did Elemental Dragon.
Oh, he did Elemental Dragon. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and the thing is, so I got more than I deserved.
Yeah. They actually had the fight, the two ones I actually talked about that I thought would be pretty good. It was Elemental Dragon next to the final lion one, main beast or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Those two that I think would like look good together.
Yes.
Do you know what we didn't get? We didn't get Dragonic Knight.
No, we didn't.
The best suit he has.
I wonder if they just got a rip in it or something like that and they just don't want anybody to know it's trash.
Yeah. It's just like, the best suit. And they're just like, no, forget it. We'll never have this suit again.
Like, I can almost see that the suit actor had COVID or something, and they just burnt it.
Yes, it's done.
Gone. It's gone. Never
so
again.
My Segoy is I actually do like that thing where it's just like, I'm a fictional character, so what? Let's move on with this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was more important than that to me. It was like him saying, it's like, kind of, you can't just abandon. Okay, I guess what I'm trying to say is that Serenity isn't, you know, nothing happening to you.
Yeah.
That's like limbo. That's like hell. It's just you. It's how well you can handle everything and maintain like an even, you know, like how are you handling everything?
Yeah, I like the fact that like he gave up the life he wanted for the life he knew he should have.
Yeah. It's like, it's not real. You're in a fake sort of.
Yeah. He's
this
just
is
like,
more of a story than the story that you were living. Yeah.
I have to finish the story because it's important. I mean, there's also the whole thing about the fact that Hongo's line of like how the stories you created have like inspired generations and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's important. It's also the reality is that we are not perfect organisms, and a lack of conflict breeds conflict. Like if all conflict were erased from the earth right now, we all had an equal serving of wealth in every way and perfectly fit bodies. It's going to pop off in a way that no one's going to have an excuse for why things are happening. And then everyone's going to go bananas. That's how I feel about it. We're left to our own devices. Somebody's going to hurt somebody in some way and not know that they did it. And then, you know,
we're going to end up like the fat guys in Wall-E.
Yeah. Or yeah. That, which is also horrible.
Yeah.
Dear God.
Cause that's like not living then.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you're either drones or somebody's hurting someone and then somebody else is there to pick up the pieces or just, you know, any combination of stuff. It's like, you can't just run away from your bad times.
Yeah.
You know, you got to live it.
There was also a nice thing that like, there was a lot of like Easter eggs by seeing different suits. Cause I saw a bunch of like drones from all sorts of things.
Like the mooks and
the
whatnot.
The mooks, yeah. Like I've sold a bunch of soldiers from like all the riders. I think there was a couple that I'm like, okay, I'm glad. I don't think those ones are in there because it would look really weird. Like the worms, because they were like every worm was a monster.
Mm-hmm.
But there was like mook worms. But
I almost want to see, because they were willing to show all those mooks, I almost want to see a supervillain collage movie. Like literally, like they're all about to take on or fight the final battles. Like just the ones that make sense or are driven to not necessarily destroy the world, but fight this one guy, those kind of characters. But like they're about to have the battle and then the battle's taken away from them. And it's like, okay, we got to team up so we can go kick our heroes' asses. Obviously, it's not going to work out like that for them. But the point is, like, you're getting it from their perspective.
Some of the movies, you'll be like, that is, you know, that's Ika Devil. That's like, you know, they'll have all these, like, that's Starfleet Hitler. It's just like, there's like so many, like, it's basically like, what suits do we have? Slap those on somebody, put them on the line.
Get out there.
Yeah. And I really think it is like that. We're like, what suits have we got in storage? Which ones we can't?
The show must go on.
Yeah.
The audience will wait.
This is Neo Extra Super Shocker. So we'll have like a couple here and then every suit we could possibly think of. Oh, that guy wanted to destroy all of reality. Slow him in there.
Honestly, Starfish Hitler just sounds horrifying.
Yeah.
It's like a combination we don't need.
Yeah.
Regenerates. You eat things by you walking over them and just kind of tearing to pieces with little tiny tendril things.
And it's a Kamen Rider starfish. It might throw itself.
And it might throw itself, yeah. And then you're Hitler.
Then you're Hitler.
Yeah, then you're Hitler. The one true race is a bunch of...
starfish.
5 to 7 foot freaks. Like, not foot as in tall. Like, they have little feet tendril things, whatever they're called.
That was our episode. Like we said, we're not doing the writer ranking for this one.
Yeah, that'd be a bit extreme.
Yes.
And besides, I don't think it's going to change anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's like...
Because this is one of those ones where there's a lot of characters that are from the Legacy, like our Riding Through the Ages series, and then we have characters from current Kamen. Yeah. And so it's like we'd have to update both lists.
So the only thing would be like, we would, the only thing would be like, would we update Sabers from this movie? Because... Saber's like on the Legacy list. He's from a show we finished. Would we change anything? And I don't think, because like, even though we didn't want to because he's the main character, Toma was still the main character.
Yeah.
You know, he was, and he was.
I think he's at the top of the list anyways.
Yes, he is the number one.
Yeah.
And like we talked about how we almost didn't want to do that. Just because, but then we're like, stop being stupid. Just admit that he was the best writer because he got the most screen time.
He got the most screen time.
Got
he
the,
did
most,
the most.
He got the most character development. He saved the day multiple times.
At the very least, he was the most generically heroic.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, he had his flaws and then he overcame them.
Yeah.
And like the thing that was the best about him, he actually never found out about. He never found out that what he wrote wasn't in the book.
Yeah. he doesn't even know that he's truly unique.
Yeah.
He just is.
And he thought he was just like everybody else, but he's just like, so what? Let's keep going. You know, that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't think it would change anything. He'd still be number one.
Because really, like, if we were going to update it, I would be against it if for no other reason than, like, not everybody got a fair shake, you know? It's just literally, it's the Toma show.
Yeah. And that that's just how it is.
It is, yeah.
And it wouldn't have felt it wouldn't have felt as unfair if they were less characters.
Yeah.
If there was only three writers, the other two, and Toma still got the same amount of time.
There's still more time for them to split rather than between the other 197 people on screen.
Yeah. So our next episode, we'll actually do it this time.
Yeah.
Will be episode 12 of Revice.
Yes.
Weakness is strength, the invincible genie. You remember what was happening?
It's been a while. I'm sure if we talked about it for a split second, I would remember.
She failed to transform.
Okay, then yes, I do remember immediately now. I'm like, it's all coming back to me.
Yeah.
Because it was like, there was a zap and she like fell forward, right? Because it didn't work out.
She fell backwards.
Or backwards,
And then the monster went to attack her and Revice took the hit.
Yes.
Revice.
Yeah, and my suck was that he went all the way around it.
Yes.
Like, you could have pushed it from the back. You could have pushed it from either side. Even after coming around, you could push her from the front. Oh.
Yeah.
Ugh. Horrible.
I haven't said this in a while, but we have a website.
Yes. We do have a website.
Fanboyopinion.com. Twitter, fanboy_opinion.
You can email us.
You can email us at fanboyopinion@gmail.com. We should be on every podcasting thing. I recently put us, we're on now on every Samsung phone.
Wow.
You go to the free section and we're in those podcasts.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, just whenever I hear something new about podcasts, I'm like, throw us on there.
Throw us on there.
So, I've been Eric.
And I'm Eugene.
And we will see you next time.